The Green Room with Orla Barry on News Talk.
Camas Davis was a food writer and restaurant critic living in Oregon in the US when she found herself made redundant and wondering at the age of 31 what to do with the rest of her life. The answer, of course, was to move to the south of France and apprentice with the family that raised pigs and learn about whole animal butchery. She's since founded the Portland Meat Collective and has just published a new book, Killing It. Camas Davis, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Despite the fact that you were a food writer and restaurant critic and I guess a lover of food and curious about this kind of thing, it's still a bit of a leap to go from West Coast US to the other side of the Atlantic, to the south of France, and learn about the trade from the other side, I guess. What drove you? What made you think this is something I want to do?
Well, a lot of things. In some ways, I was working towards it my entire life without knowing it. But as a food writer, I had noticed that whenever I wrote stories about a cut of meat that I had eaten or a recipe for meat, and I would ask chefs, well, why does it taste good? Or where does that cut of meat come from? At the time, I would sort of get a lot of blank stares and would realize pretty quickly that I would have to go back several steps into the process in order to find answers to those questions. And so there really seemed like a dearth of knowledge about meat in general. And then from a personal perspective, I had just struggled over the course of my life with whether to eat meat or not. I had been a vegetarian. I had eaten meat without really thinking about it. I had grown up hunting and fishing. So I'd sort of been on all ends of the spectrum and really just wondered, is there a way to eat meat that would feel comfortable for me? And for me, just jumping into where I jumped into in France was a way to start exploring that.
And what did they make of you? What did this family make of you? I understand you didn't speak French when you arrived.
I had taken a 101 class for about 5 weeks before, so I was very rudimentary in my French speaking skills. They were remarkably open and accepting, and they were definitely curious why I was there. But to my face, they didn't question, my right to be there. And they really took me in without knowing me and without knowing what I was going to do with the knowledge they were passing on to me in a very gracious and loving way.
So what do they do exactly? They raise pigs, but they also killed the pigs to sell on to whoever wanted to buy them, I take it.
Yeah, it was a family of four brothers and two of their wives who together owned a vertically integrated pork operation. So they grew the grain to feed their pigs. They raised about 500 pigs a year, which is quite small in the whole scheme of things. They cooperatively owned a slaughterhouse or abattoir with other small farmers in the region. They themselves did not kill the pigs. They hired someone to do it at the slaughterhouse, but they were involved in that process. And then they took all of the carcasses each week, about 10 a week, back to their farm and did all of the butchery and the processing and turned it into fresh cuts and charcuterie and then sold all of that at outdoor markets. So they owned every part of the process, which is quite remarkable. Only large meat conglomerates have that model. And even that model involves division of labor, which was not the case with these farmers.
And so you went, you spent time with them. You also saw the animals being killed, I take it.
I did. Yeah, I spent most of my time in the cutting room learning how to turn every single part of the animal into food. And then the rest of the time I was at the markets with them selling every single part to consumers for food.
Every single part?
Yes, except for the bones. They turn the bones, they burn the bones and turn that into compost that went back onto the field. So yeah, it was remarkable because I've since learned that much of a pig is not used for food. It's used for other applications. And it was remarkable to work within a culture and sell to a consumer culture that was fine eating every part of the animal and wanted to eat every part of the animal.
And how did you go, Camas, from that the person that was at one point a vegetarian to kind of watching all of this process in front of your eyes and seeing the animal being, you know, every part being used, etc. Did that sit okay with you? Was there any part of your stomach that was churning at any point in all of this?
Well, I mean, I had gone on this journey to really confront and become a part of just the very basic processes of how animals get turned into food. I sort of knew tangentially, and because I'd read Omnivore's Dilemma and seen a few documentaries, I knew how the industrial model worked. But I really had set out to see, is there a way to produce meat out of the industrial model that I would feel comfortable with? And so I really went to France on that journey, wanting to be as open as possible to what I was going to witness and what I was going to see. And so I didn't, every step along the way, it felt to me like they were doing it the right way. And yes, it is difficult to be a part of slaughter and to not only to witness it, but to take part in it, and difficult to see your own role within that, and to realize, oh, I am a responsible part. I am responsible for some of this, which we don't have to do in the industrial model. So, you know, yes, it's difficult, but I felt that difficulty was actually important to pay attention to. And it really forced me to rethink my relationship to meat and how much I eat it and where I get it from. So I felt that confronting those things made me a more informed eater in a lot of ways.
And how much meat do you eat now? Do you still eat pork now?
I do, but I only buy it from farmers who I feel are definitely working outside of the industrial model, but not just that, farmers who are really thinking about how can animals be incorporated into our agricultural system in a regenerative way, in a holistic way, in a way that more closely mimics nature in many ways. And there are a few farmers that actually do that. So I don't eat as much meat because it's not as easy to find that kind of meat, as well because I take part in the processes as much as possible that turn animals into meat. I really just have a different respect and reverence for those processes, and don't feel I need to eat that much of it. In addition, the animals I'm buying are raised in a very different way than the industrial model. So they have more flavor, they have more texture, and I don't need to eat much of it to feel sated, unlike with industrial meat.
And how difficult is it for the ordinary consumer to know that what they're buying is, you know, maybe more ethical, that it's not the industrial meat, as you put it? Is it very clear, do you think? You know, does the packaging tell you? Does the butcher tell you? Is it very obvious?
It's unfortunately not. Labeling is often meaningless, not always, but often. The policies and regulations surrounding certain labels like free range and cage free are almost render those labels jokes in many ways. So yes, one does have to ask more questions, maybe, you know, create a relationship with a farmer, go to the farm, and that takes time and money in many ways. But for me, that's been rewarding, and that's felt like an important part of building a food system that is not going to kill us, but is actually might save us.
Mm. And I had said you founded the Portland Meat Collective. You've obviously just published this new book, Killing It. Do you get much of a backlash from animal rights activists or from vegetarians or vegans?
I mean, the Portland Meat Collective exists in order to educate regular consumers about those basic processes that bring meat to our tables, and to educate them about how to buy meat outside of the industrial model and how to use every part for meat and to make it last. Oftentimes, I think our mission is misunderstood to be just, you know, we love meat and everyone should eat it, which is absolutely the opposite of our mission. In fact, through our education, we're trying to get people to eat less meat or not eat it at all if that's what they choose. So yes, there is pushback from vegetarians and vegans. I often think it's because they haven't taken the time to really see what it is we're trying to do and to see that we're working towards something similar, towards a better food system. So it's, you know, it's par for the course. It's a hot button topic that often gets reduced to a few very basic fundamental talking points, when in fact I have learned in the past 10 years there are a lot of nuances and a lot of ways to incorporate animals into our agricultural system that are beneficial to everyone.
Well, if people want to find out more about Camus' story and indeed her thoughts, the book is entitled Killing It. Camus Davis, good to talk to you, and thank you so much for joining us here on the show this evening.
Thanks so much for having me.
Cheers, cheers. As Camus Davis joining us from Portland in Oregon, the book entitled Killing It. News Talk 106 to 108.